He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday midweek show of the Best Stocks Now, or is it Best Inverse Funds Now? We've had that kind of year so far in the market. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And, of course, today is the Fed Day. We will get the decision later on today from the Fed. And if that decision is anything other than 75 basis points, I would expect some volatility in the market today. So brace yourself. That is coming later on this afternoon. Now, the market's off to a fairly good start here this morning in advance of the Fed. I think the market is fully expecting that 75 basis point hike is priced it in. And ready to move on. Well, we'll see. The Dow's up 158 right now to 30,858. After a pretty rough day yesterday, it was down 300. The S&P's up 23 right now, 3879. It had a rough day yesterday. The NASDAQ is squeezing out a 27-point gain so far today after being about 109, I think, down yesterday. NASDAQ up 26 points, 11,451. Small caps are up 0.6%. Crude oil had a little lift under it this morning. It was up over $2 per barrel on the big news out of Russia. I think that's bigger news than it is being reported as. With Putin calling up more troops. Crude oil is up 71 cents at $84.65. Gold's up $11, but continues to struggle against a strong dollar. The 10-year is at 3.54%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual firm. Active, not passive. We are active, not passive. And I'm hearing from a lot of people out there that have passive investment managers, and in a market where the stock market is falling and the bond market is getting clocked, passive is not a good place to be. It has not been a good place to be for a long time. I never drank the passive Kool-Aid, but this year it really is not the place to be. So once again, we are active, not passive. Barry's active today. He's out on the road. We may hear from him later in the show, but you're stuck with me here today so far. Okay, so we've had a pretty stiff sell-off in the market yesterday. We broke some key support levels, and today we've got a little bit of a rebound. The Dow was down 313 yesterday, the Dow up 191 today. But, you know, the inverse funds obviously did well yesterday. Tech continues to struggle mightily. I mean mightily. And in particular, of note, big tech. We're talking, I think Apple had a pretty good day, but you get outside of that, Microsoft, Meta, Google, and some of the other AMD, NVIDIA, some of the other tech giants, they continue to really struggle in an environment where we're seeing the highest interest rates that we've seen in over a decade, and they're going higher. And of particular note is that rate on the 2-year, which hit almost 4% yesterday, and that contrast with the 10-year, which is only at 3.5%, hence the inversion of almost 45-50 basis points. In a real world, you should be getting more for a 10-year treasury than a 2-year treasury. That is not the case right now. and that inverted yield curve would continue to suggest a recession down the road. And we've had some recession talk, more than I've heard in quite a while, some from individual companies like FedEx. They predicted a global recession out there. Of course, they delivered some pretty poor earnings and forecasts. They had to point the finger somewhere, and that's the excuse that they use. We've heard a few other companies give some pretty big warnings here recently. And, well, you know, we have two straight quarters of down GDP, and that is the textbook definition of a recession. Well, they're still baking into the cake a 20% chance of a 100 basis point hike. If that happens, I think I'll go for a nice long walk, okay, after that news, and never come back. No, well, it could get kind of dirty and rough, however, in the market. We could see some real selling if we got a 100 basis point hike. I think a lot of what will determine how the market reacts will be, obviously, that little statement, or I don't know if he's going to do a Q&A today. Probably. Jerome Powell likes to be pretty transparent. He sure was grumpy up in Jackson Hole. Let's hope that he's settled down a little bit, you know, is a little bit kinder today, because he really has caused a huge sell-off in the market since that Jackson Hole speech. The other big shock yesterday was Ford's guidance, shocker. Wow. Okay, so there's another company besides FedEx, okay, I would consider Ford a bellwether. Yeah, it's the biggest car maker in America. How many Fords do you see on the road? The selling pressure on shares of Ford picked up Tuesday afternoon with shares down almost 12%. You know, that's a lot for a big company like that. It lost $7 billion worth of market cap on that upgraded guidance. And most analysts were very surprised with the Q3 pre-announcement. Okay, so let's not forget that quarter three of 2022 ends in just 9 days, and then we go through the whole earnings parade once again. Ford got out in front of it saying, we still have supply chain bottlenecks. Bank of America analyst John Murphy noted that the broader macro news suggested supply chains were incrementally better over the last few months, which added to the shock over the parts shortage issue at Ford. Wells Fargo analyst Colin Langan said that given the supply chain volatility within the industry after the pandemic, the Q3 supply disruption and inventory build issue is disappointing, although not concerning longer term. He reminded that General Motors had very similar issues in Q2. But the $1 billion in inflationary costs that Ford talked about is very concerning because that could persist into Q4. So, you know, that really, let's see how Ford is reacting today. But that was quite a shock yesterday that they were having that rough of a quarter. It's rebounding a little bit. It's up 2.6%. Today. Okay, and of course, again, it is Fed Day, which we get. I think they have one more meeting after this in November. Then I think they take December off. So if they're going to go big with a big hike, they'd probably do it today or in November. And of course, a lot of that depends on the inflation numbers that we continue to see. Okay, I think the biggest story of the day, well, maybe second biggest behind the Fed, you know, Vladimir Putin went on national TV in Russia this morning and ordered a mobilization of 300,000 more troops and threatened the West with nuclear weapons. It's his first national address since the invasion of Ukraine in February, And, you know, that's the first mobilization of troops that Russia has made since World War II. I think that's a pretty big deal. That's his first national address since the invasion of Ukraine in February. He announced a partial mobilization of the population to bolster flagging manpower for Russia's special military operation. That's what they call it, a special military operation in the Donbas region, where they've had a lot of issues, a lot of trouble. They've lost a lot of ground. Ukraine is making inroads. So, you know, he's got to be pretty desperate here to call up 300,000 troops. Just how desperate is he? That's a scary thought. And oil was up $2 per barrel. It has settled down a little bit. More on that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It is the Best Stocks Now, or is it Inverse Funds Now show? Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Just back to that Putin story for a minute. The quote I think that was heard around the world and a little bit chilling, here's what Putin had to say in quotation marks: when the territorial integrity of our country is threatened, we will certainly use all the means at our disposal to protect Russia and our people, Putin continued. This is not a bluff. Those who are trying to blackmail us with nuclear weapons should know that the wind patterns can also turn in their direction. To those who allow themselves such statements, I would like to remind them, Russia also has many types of weapons of destruction, the components of which, in some cases, are more modern than those of the countries of NATO. In other words, if it comes to it, he will use, which he said before, nuclear weapons. The problem is he's getting more and more backed into a corner. And, you know, you back a mad dog into a corner, and you're a little worried about how they will lash out. On top of that, you know, you got December 5th is a big date. That's when the EU has banned seaborne imports of Russian crude. So, you know, on the one hand, you're worried about a global economic slowdown, but that would put a lot less oil out there in the markets if Russian oil was taken off the world market. So we got to keep our eye. It's a big story. Putin down there, you know, he's backed into a corner. He's lashing out. So we can't really take that for granted. Defense stocks rise in the pre-market after Putin calls up more troops. Well, okay, so the defense stocks are taking note. LHX, which is L. Harris Technologies, up 3.4% today on big volume. Take note of that. Lockheed Martin, MLT. Wow. It's breaking out today. It's up $11 a share, up 2.7% on four times normal volume. That's what I say. This is not something to be taken lightly, which it's kind of buried a little bit. I don't think it's getting the attention that it should. Northrop Grumman, NOC, another big weapons maker, breaking out to a new all-time high today. That doesn't bode well. It's up 3.5% or $17 per share. And Raytheon, which is in the missile business, it's up 2.7% or $2.33 today. The U.S. dollar hits fresh two-decade high after Putin's move to mobilize more troops. And, of course, that's been an issue for a long time, the rising dollar. Look at the dollar breakout again today. You now have the euro under parity with the U.S. dollar. You have gold and the precious metals getting slammed by the strong U.S. dollar. And you have our multinationals being hurt. They're not as competitive in the our goods are not as competitive in the world markets. And when these multinationals bring back money to the U.S. and convert it to U.S. dollars, they're taking a big hit. So that's also something that has been going on for quite some time. I look at that dollar every single day. UUP, I think it's up about 14% or something like that this year. Certainly done better than the S&P 500. Europe's energy crisis pushes manufacturers to the U.S. Well, I mean, they're having a hard time. The factories in Europe that make steel, fertilizer, other products, they're shifting their output to the U.S. where energy prices are stable, at least for now, and the Fed and the Fed provides incentives, federal government provides incentives to expand, the Wall Street Journal reports. Among the companies that have boosted their U.S. operation are chemical makers OCI, which said it would expand its ammonia factory in Texas, jewelry company Pandora, and car makers Volkswagen this year said they would increase their operations in the U.S. Europe's running out of power. That's a big problem. Steelmaker ArcelorMittal this month announced cutbacks at two German plants, but saw better than estimated performance from its investment in a Texas plant. So I guess Texas is on the big receiving end of these companies, of these manufacturers leaving Europe because of the problems that Europe is having with energy to create power. And it's also going to cause a lot of damage to the European economy. It already has. The Europe index is down about 25%, about as much as our NASDAQ here. So it's been tough go in Europe. Germany nationalizes gas giant Uniper as Russia cuts supply. The screws tighten over the war in Ukraine. The ramifications for those involved are having profound impacts on their economies. Europe is on the front lines as energy is weaponized on the battlefield, with Russia fully turning off the taps of the Nord Stream 1 pipeline to Germany and beyond. Prior to the invasion, Russia had supplied about 40% of the EU's natural gas needs, which is used for everything like cooking and heating for consumers, as well as electricity and power generation for heavy industry. Germany, their largest importer of gas is Uniper. It's a publicly traded company on the pink sheets. It's being nationalized by the government as Berlin attempts to keep the industry afloat in the wake of an energy crisis. Shares of the utility collapsed 25% in Frankfurt on the news. The stock is down 90% since the beginning of the year. The drastic measure of nationalizing Uniper follows an earlier 15 billion euro bailout that failed to prop up Uniper, which has suffered heavy financial losses after being forced to buy gas in a market where prices have hit record highs. Germany seems to be at the center of the European crisis. That's where the pipeline comes in. And it was Germany that decided to make a deal, for the most part, with Putin. And now, of course, that has not turned out so well, and it's impacting all of Europe. Yesterday, I saw the real estate stocks here in the U.S. get hit pretty hard. Of course, they're on the firing line of rising interest rates. With the 30-year mortgage over 6%, I saw inverse funds DRV and REC. That's a good one. REK is the real estate industry, or the real estate investing, REITs, etc., in for a wreck. Well, the inverse funds have really been hopping lately. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. The Dow still positive by 180, and the NASDAQ up about 68 right now after a bad day yesterday. Of course, later today we get that news that everybody's been waiting for so long. Where will the Fed go next? We will find out, and everybody expects 75 basis points. Where will they end? Well, we're currently at 2.75 on the Fed fund lending rate, and with the 75 basis point hike today, that would take us to 3.5. Most people are thinking around 4.5 is where they would finally maybe stop, but, of course, that has a lot to do with the inflation numbers going forward. Okay, back to the real estate story just a little bit. The one area of real estate that is doing pretty good is the apartments. Obviously, with the mortgage rates, the prospects of mortgage rates staying above 6%, where were they a year ago? 2.86. We're at 6%. They've more than doubled since the last year. That puts a lot more demand for rentals. When people can't afford to buy, it's pushing a lot of prospective buyers to the sidelines. The downside to the apartment increased demand is the supply is increasing very rapidly. That showed up in the housing starts and building permits recently. Multifamily housing starts reached its best monthly performance in 35 years. Said Lawrence Yoon, chief economist at the National Association of Realtors. Apartment demand has been strong with rents rising at a historically high pace. Well, that's how the law of supply and demand works. Demand goes up. The builders scramble to increase the supply. And eventually, things start to cool off, and you've got too much supply, and then prices start to head down. So that's right now they're scrambling to build more rental units. Last week, billionaire real estate investor Barry Sternlicht, who's kind of a legend in the industry, said he expects a housing crash as the economy breaks hard. Okay, that's his opinion. He does not predict a soft landing. He's got his head between his knees, his helmet on, and ready for a hard landing. That's Barry Sternlicht. Wheat futures rebound on heightened concerns over Black Sea supplies. Well, they had an agreement. You know, Ukraine is a big producer of a lot of things, but wheat is one of the biggest ones, which is kind of the world's food staple. And I noticed wheat prices really jumped yesterday. Putin is now threatening to block a renewal of the Ukraine-Russia safe passage deal, which is set to expire next month. I think he probably will. It sounds like he's getting pretty desperate. Corn and soybean futures followed wheat higher. I check those every day, too. There's some ETFs. You want to invest in soybeans, S-O-Y-B. You want to invest in corn, C-O-R-N. Wheat is W-E-A-T. And if you want to invest in the grains in general, J-J-G, which had a good day yesterday. And you've also had degraded crop conditions and a slower than expected harvest so far in 2022. The U.S. Department of Agriculture reported further declines in its latest weekly crop progress report, now seeing corn conditions at 52% good to excellent and only 55% good to excellent, both down a point. So anyways, that definitely is going to lead to higher prices in the food, in the corn, wheat, and soybean markets. The dry bulk shippers had a good day yesterday. The shipping stocks in general. You know, I had one person write to me and say, hey, you don't send out email. I did that during when the app was down. I was sending out a lot of messages, you know, email messages and stuff to app subscribers and whatnot. But I'm on Twitter all day long. I probably sent out 10 different tweets of observations I made in my daily trip through the market. I send the tweets out through StockTwits. I've been with StockTwits since the beginning. They were headquartered in the building I was headquartered in San Diego, a 20-story building that used to house the AT&T headquarters. And I got to know the CEO or the founder, one of the founders of StockTwits. I even took him on a fishing trip in San Diego Bay. We went lobster fishing together. He brought his daughter. So I have a lot of followers, over 50,000 on StockTwits. So all you got to do is sign up. It's free on StockTwits, and you can follow me at Bill Gunderson, where I'm a very active participant in the daily discussion on StockTwits. But my twits also are forwarded to Twitter. So if you have a Twitter account, a Twitter feed, I'm at Bill Gunderson on Twitter. I sent out probably 10 different observations on things that really caught my eye yesterday. And, you know, I pride myself in going through a database of over 6,000 every single day, looking for new things that are moving, early moves in stocks. I spend several hours before I prepare the show every morning reading all the news, especially in the markets that have occurred since yesterday's show. And, of course, I use that the highlights in my radio show every day, which I upload, podcast. You can listen to the podcast every day. It's cutting-edge stuff. I mean, we're not talking about IBM or Walmart here. We're looking for things that are doing well, best stocks now, given the unique environment that we're in at any given point in time. I probably sent out more tweets than I have in a long time. New players in the renewable energy markets. That's probably the hottest sector in the market. And you're getting new players every day. Yesterday we talked about the electro fuels, which I had really never heard of until Amazon made a big bet and secured a bunch of electro fuels from a company in California to use in their delivery vans in California. We're also seeing the shipping stocks like Golden Ocean, Diana Shipping, GNK, Eagle Shipping, Star Bulk Carriers, Navios, TK Tankers. Why? Well, because number one, that's why the dry bulk shippers were up yesterday. They're going to have to look elsewhere to get wheat in Africa and other parts of the world if Putin shuts down the port in the Ukraine, which is loaded at millions of tons sitting there that needs to be delivered, that's in jeopardy right now. And then, of course, the shipping companies that deliver gas and liquid natural gas, I imagine it's pretty hard to get one right now. Imagine they're booked. So the shipping stocks continue to do well. We're always on the lookout for new individual bonds for our bond fund. We like to hold individual bonds until maturity. You know, I did a whole study when all of these alternative investments came along. I thought they were a pariah, most of them. They were high commission, which I run from. I'm a no commission guy. I don't deal with commission products in any way. I haven't for over two decades. And, you know, the non-traded REITs, why would you buy a non-traded REIT? How safe is it Well, it's non-correlated to the market. BS. The REITs are totally correlated to the market, and a non-traded REIT is illiquid. I have people that still have non-traded REITs that they've transferred to me as part of their portfolio. You can't do anything with them except sell them on the secondary market for a major discount. Hopefully someday they'll go public. But when you buy a private stock or a private REIT, you need a liquidity event. It's got to go public or be bought out by somebody. And I studied other alternative investments, and I determined that, hey, buying a bond in a good best stock now company and holding it to maturity, well, you know, you're not absolutely guaranteed of getting your principal back, but it's pretty solid, okay? And along the way, you're going to get a nice return on your investment through the way of coupons. We did spot a bond that we're checking into today from a natural gas company. Okay, when we come back, is anything hopping and popping? There must be something. NASDAQ up 35, Dow up 147. Fed announcement later today. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go. Do what you want to do.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I just looked at the internals of the market, which is, you know, the individual stocks that make up the market, which I track about 6,000 on a daily basis, which includes mutual funds, ETFs, etc. It's a very dull day in the market so far. And, you know, rightly so. The market wants to see what our friend Jerome Powell has to say. Did he eat his Wheaties this morning? Will he be in a better mood than he was in Jackson Hole? I don't know what got into him at Jackson Hole. He was not very happy. And the market certainly reacted in a negative way. It was down 1,296 points or something like that within a few days of what he had to say. The real strength in the market today continues to be probably the strongest area of the market right now, which would be energy. Energy. There's several, especially alternative energy. Let's begin with battery storage. We've talked a lot about that. You think of the gas station, and they've got the tanks underground full of gasoline, and they're replenished by the trucks bringing in the gasoline all the time and keeping them full. Well, you know, when we have electric vehicles, will there be a way of storing any energy, large amounts of energy to have for all of the electric vehicle? Or will you have to wait the 20 to 30 minutes each time to fill your electric vehicle to recharge it? Will we have faster chargers? Well, right now the energy storage is big business, or it's big business in the market. People are making their investments now. I've talked about this one for quite some time. This is probably the best looking stock in the market today. Freer Battery, F-R-E-Y. It's a Norwegian-based company. Of course, Gunderson, all over those Norwegian companies. Norwegian-based company focused on developing up to 43 GWH, which I believe is gigawatts, not gigawatts. That's how the guy in Back to the Future said it. A battery cell production capacity by 2025. Freer Battery is one of the biggest battery companies in the world. And, of course, Norway is being looked at for a lot of things right now. They're the home to Equinor, which is, you know, the biggest provider of oil and natural gas in Europe. It's amazing that Freer, I don't think Freer even has any I mean, they don't list any sales yet, but they're a major player, $1.7 billion company, FREY, headquartered in Norway, but building plants in America. That stock, wow, look at the action today. You know, and that's another thing. I have screens that find stocks that are trading unusual volume. That's easy to find. It's trading like 2,633% of its normal volume today. FREY, relative strength is 98, hitting a new all-time high. That's the best chart I've seen in the market today. And there was news on it. Let me see if I can find the news. I was going to try to fit that in, but boy, we've been. This hour has gone quickly. There was a story on Freer. I can't find it right now, but you can Google it and find the story. It's in the news a lot. Okay, the other one in that business, and it's kind of a new player, is STEM. STEM. And it's headquartered in San Francisco in the Silicon Valley. It provides energy storage solutions with its artificial intelligence powered analytics platform to optimize energy use. And listen to its sales over the last four quarters. 334%, up 183%, up 166%, up 246%. Still not making money. They're still losing money, but their sales are growing. Like, you know, in the Investor's Business Daily world, we call that a CanSlim stock, which has explosive. This is sales in this case. CanSlim mostly looks for explosive earnings, but explosive earnings are preceded by explosive sales. And STEM has just kind of come to my attention. It went public last year, maybe 2020, and all of a sudden is becoming a pretty strong stock here with a relative strength of 97. So a couple of energy stocks, which has been our major theme in 2022, being inverse high PE, being inverse bond funds, being inverse the innovation stocks that are suffering mightily due to rising interest rates, which shrink the multiples, and being focused in a world that is going nuts. It hasn't been a smooth transition in Europe, that's for sure. They're caught short big time as winter approaches. But there's players on both sides of this whole energy controversy, I suppose, that is in the world today. FREY and STEM on the green side of that argument. Let's see here. What else? On the, well, in the solar, Nova, N-O-V-A, having a very good day. Looks pretty good on a chart. 91 relative strength. It's a solar and energy storage stock. So we'll concentrate on those three stocks today. Sunnova, N-O-V-A, has customers in 25 states. Their sales over the last four quarters have been accelerating. So there's three good energy storage stocks. Okay, well, you know, we're getting so many calls from people. I know a lot of the big firms out there, very few of them do anything during it. They stay fully invested. They're constrained. They tell people to ride it out. And they're in all the wrong stuff. And they're passive, not active. We're active, not passive. You can get our newsletter, 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. Or you can call us and have a virtual appointment with us, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.